A Bible school teacher asked her class, "Class, what is repentance? What does the word mean?" One little boy in class said, "That means being sorry for what you've done." A little girl sitting beside him said, "No, it doesn't. Repentance means being sorry enough not to do it again." This is really a pretty close definition, for the Bible shows us that there is a connection between sorrow and repentance. "For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of the world bringeth forth death." We see then that there are two different kinds of sorrow. One we should have, for it brings repentance and salvation. The other just brings death. Today we're going to look at some men who did repent. They had the right kind of sorrow. And that's our topic as we explore God's truth for the world.
Paul Meacham, Jr.
We welcome you to today's broadcast and hope that you'll take your Bible and be prepared to study along with us. We begin this lesson today in the middle of a series of lessons entitled, God Has Spoken. We're really concentrating not so much on what God has said, but on how man reacts to what God has said. For God's Word stands firm and it will never pass away. However, how man responds to it varies oftentimes, and we're trying to learn from the mistakes and the good examples of others. We began this series by looking at three men: the man Pharaoh from the time of Moses in Egypt, the young man Samuel as he served Eli in the temple, and the Syrian army officer Naaman. All three of these men heard the word of God, and all three of them had the same initial reaction. Who is God? They did not know him. One fell under the plagues and the punishment of God. One opened his heart to God and obeyed him for the rest of his life, becoming a great judge of the people. And one of them learned that there is no God in all the world but in Israel. This, of course, being a reference to Jehovah God. We then saw last week that there were two men who heard God speak and disobeyed him. We find first the man Balaam, who because of his greed disobeyed God. It was his intention all along to do all that he could to receive the money that Balak, king of Moab, was offering him, and he was going to disobey God if necessary. We call this an intentional disobedience. But we also noticed a man who is not named in the Bible. He is simply referred to as the man of God. He was sent by the word of the Lord, 1 Kings 13:1. He was not a greedy man. He was told a lie by another prophet. He believed that lie and obeyed it. And when he did so, he disobeyed God. We learn from this that disobedience can be unintentional. We can disobey God even when we didn't mean to, if we are given false information. And that is why it is so important that each one of us study the Bible for himself. That we all sit down with God's Word and an open and honest heart and learn what the Bible actually says. Some men will lie to you intentionally and teach you that which is not true. Others may mean well, but they are wrong. In either case, if we believe and obey that which is wrong, we ourselves are wrong. Now today we turn our attention to those who heard God speak to them and initially were disobedient, but repented and did what God said. The first man we look at is Moses. We might look at parts of Moses' life and see a great servant of the Lord, a leader of God's people, a deliverer and a lawgiver, and many things that Moses did were great. In fact, it is said that he was a type of the Christ. Just as he delivered the people, God, through the Christ, delivers man from sin. Just as he delivered a law to the people, Christ delivered a law to us today. There are many similarities between them, but there is one area where they are not the same. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4, verse 15. But we find that Moses was a man and therefore committed sin. When we look at Exodus chapter 3, we find a time in Moses' life where he really does not set a very good example. God's command to Moses is very clear. It's found in Exodus 3 and verse 10. God says, "Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Moses knew that this was to be his role. He understood it 40 years ago. At the time that God says this to him, Moses is 80 years old. When he was 40, he understood that he was to be a deliverer of God's people. We know this because of the sermon that Stephen preached in Acts chapter 7. He refers to Moses as one who was educated in the ways of Egypt, a man who was mighty in word and in deed, and one who supposed that his brethren, who supposed that the other Israelites would understand that God was going to deliver them by his hand. Now that was Moses' understanding at age 40. The Israelites did not understand it, and now God comes to Moses and he says, "It's time. You go back to Egypt and you tell Pharaoh, 'Let my people go.'" Moses should have been obedient to this. He had all of the information that he needed, yet Moses begins to make excuses. We find his first excuse in verse 11. "And Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?'" We just read from Stephen's sermon in Acts 7, Moses did understand who he was. He did understand that this was to be his role, that God had this in mind for him. It was a plan that God had for him. Yet now Moses claims to not know why he's the one that should be chosen. He's saying, "I'm not worthy of this. Send someone else." That was his first excuse. The second excuse he made is found in verse 13. "And Moses said to God, 'Behold, when I come to the children of Israel and shall say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say to them?'" Here Moses is trying to say, "I'm not the one that you should send. I don't even know your name." God, of course, told him to say that "I am that I am has sent me." For God is the great I am. He is the one who is self-existent. No one caused him to be, and no one sustains him. You and I were born of our parents, and if we trace our lines back far enough, we will find that we all go back to Adam and Eve, who were created, who were made to exist by God. The fact that we are here today is because we are sustained by God. But the great I am was not caused by another, nor is he sustained by one today. He is, and that is simply the end of the matter. God did not accept this excuse either. So Moses offered a third. In chapter 4 and verse 1, Moses says, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice. For they will say, The Lord has not appeared unto thee." Now that may be true. It might have been the case that when Moses returned, they were not going to believe him. But that was not the decision for Moses to make. God said, "Go." It was not Moses' decision to decide whether or not they would believe. It was Moses' responsibility to go. God did not accept this excuse either, nor will he accept it from us today when we refuse to go and teach people because we think they will not believe. A fourth excuse Moses offers is found in chapter 4 and verse 10, where he says, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." Because of what Stephen said in Acts chapter 7, I believe this is a lie. Stephen said that he was a man who was well learned. He was a man mighty in words and deeds. This, I believe, was a lie, but I know it was an excuse, and God did not accept it either, but he provided for one to speak on his behalf. Finally, in Exodus 4 and verse 13, we see that Moses gives the real reason for not going. He says, "O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send." Now, we don't talk like that today, and maybe we don't understand the true meaning of it. But what he is saying is, "Lord, send someone. Send anyone, just don't send me." Moses was afraid to go, and because of that, he offered all of these excuses. However, Moses repented. We find in Exodus 4 and verse 18, "So Moses went." That's what he was told to do. Here he is going to his father-in-law, Jethro, to seek permission to return to Egypt. He receives the blessing of his father-in-law and does so. And through his hand, God delivers the people through whom the Christ came into the world. Moses heard what God said and disobeyed, but he repented. I'd like to give one other example of this as our time is running short. That is the man Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon at the time that he ruled the greatest empire that had ever existed. He was the tool of God to exercise punishment against the nation of Judah. He went into Jerusalem and took that nation of Judah captive and carried them into Babylon for 70 years of captivity. Nebuchadnezzar came to believe that he was successful and that he ruled such a great kingdom because he was powerful. God told him through a dream that his kingdom was going to be taken away from him for a time. According to Daniel 4 and verse 25, this would occur, "Till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will." Nebuchadnezzar was not great because he made himself great. He was great because God had made him great, and Nebuchadnezzar needed to learn that lesson. He did not learn it based on the warning that he received in the dream, for we find that at the end of 12 months he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" In 12 months he had not learned the lesson of humility. And now we find that while the words were yet in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." Nebuchadnezzar was made to live as a wild animal in the fields, having lost his ability to reason. However, this is not the end of the story. For Nebuchadnezzar repented. This man who was a pagan, not even an Israelite, not in a covenant relationship with God, repented. And if we notice Daniel chapter 4 and verse 34, he says, "At the end of the days I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation." He concludes his statements in verse 37 by saying, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways are judgment, and those who walk in pride he is able to abase." Nebuchadnezzar heard what God said, but he didn't obey. After being punished by God, he repented. I wonder if we are as wise as the king of Babylon, that we will hear the word of God, and if we have been disobedient, if we ourselves will not repent and turn to the Lord.